To be with everybody today, and glad to have so many that are here. And I really enjoyed the singing this morning. The singing sounded really good with so many that have been able to be with us today. We're going to continue in our study, and so those of you that are visiting with us, we have been doing a study on looking at the term one another as it's found in the New Testament, and looking at different passages that use this phrase one another and what that means to us. So far, we've looked at the subject of being members of one another, bearing with one another, serving one another, and today we're going to be looking at the term honoring one another. And so these are important passages for us, for our dealing with each other and having the right attitude toward one another. We also looked at the subject of having humility toward one another last week. But today we're looking at honoring one another. In Romans chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, Paul tells the Roman brethren, "Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor." And so, as we consider these various commands that tell us how we are to treat one another, this ability that we should have for honoring one another is very important. And what does it mean to honor someone? We see many commands regarding this word honor in the Scriptures. Probably the one that's the most memorable, it was my dad's favorite one, is about honoring your father and mother. You know, that you find in Exodus, and it's one of the Ten Commandments, and it's repeated for us in Ephesians chapter 6. And I always thought that was my parents' favorite verse, because they liked to tell me that one a lot. But honoring your father and mother is something that's key to our understanding, and we know that to be true. But there's other commands, like in 1 Peter chapter 2, where we're told to honor everyone. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. And also in 1 Peter chapter 2, we see that. In 1 Peter chapter 3, we see the husbands are to show honor to the wives. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, "Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." So you can just see from these passages that honor is an important concept in the Scripture. So what does it mean to honor someone? Well, it means that you are assigning value to them. When you honor someone, you are esteeming them. You are showing that they have value, or you are awarding recognition. We certainly see that, understand that when it comes to the husband and wife relationship, that the husband is to honor his wife. He's to show value. He's to appreciate her. He's to show her that he appreciates her. And so that is going to show up in his treatment of her, showing appreciation. And the command, therefore, is that we would show appreciation and admiration for others. And so we're pretty good at admiring ourselves, but we need to show that honor toward others. And how does that work? Well, one that is showing honor to others would be quick to show recognition to others, to honor or acknowledge the accomplishments of others, and to demonstrate a love for others. And that should come without jealousy. If you're a jealous person or envious person, that may be hard to do, to pay attention to others and assign value, show appreciation, and show recognition to others if we are self-centered. And certainly that's been a subject that we've learned about in all of these lessons, is that when you have the right attitude toward one another, it is taking attention away from yourself. And honoring one another is the same thing, that we need to see the worth of one another and don't consider others as not having value. And we need to make sure that we show that honor toward one another. During my life, in some other congregations that I have attended when I was in college, they were quite large, and you know there were people that came and left, and sometimes you would would see the attitude, well, if they leave, it's not a big deal. But if this other family leaves, it's a really big deal. And so, you know, they, different value is assigned to different people. And it really ought not to be that way when we're told that we ought to love one another with brotherly affection and that we ought to honor all. And so we sometimes may assign different values to different people, and that should not be so. That there's some Christians that we don't show honor to and those that we do. And so that is something that can be a problem. And we do need to see the value of each other and honor each other. And when we have the attitude of self-centeredness, it shows up in the way that we treat others' opinions as opposed to our own, that we want our way, that everybody's going to get on board and do what we want, or they're going to have to move aside. And that kind of attitude that develops among Christians is certainly opposite of what Paul pointed out in Romans chapter 12 that was read for us this morning, where Paul describes the church as a body. In verse 4 of Romans chapter 12, he says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. And though many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." And he goes on to talk about the different gifts that people may have. And the idea there is that everybody has a function. Everyone is important. And when you have honor for one another, you realize that. That is the picture of what Paul says should be in the church. He also says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 21. And we'll make some points from this passage as we move along this morning. "The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, that the members might have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." And so, growing up, I always liked this illustration that Paul used, because it was something that I think is very plain for people of any age to understand, that the body has many parts and that they are all significant and serve different functions. But Paul goes on and says that there are parts of the body that we cover up and that we show modesty. And so there are parts of the body that are treated differently. But he's saying that although with the human body, there's parts that are treated differently, in the body of Christ, it's all important. That there may not be any division in the body. That members ought to be treating each other the same. If one member is honored, he said, all rejoice together. There's no division. If one member suffers, all suffer together. And so when it comes to the human body, if part of your body is sick, it really makes your whole body feel bad usually. It may be that you've got an infection in your foot, but it makes your whole body feel bad. The whole body is suffering because one part is suffering. And Paul, when he uses this illustration of the human body, it's very appropriate when we look at the body of Christ. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. And so listen to the point that he makes in verse 24. He says that God has composed the body, giving honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body. So there are to be no divisions in the body. Verse 25 says that the members might have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. So this is one of those things that you really want to underline in your mind, that the members may have the same care for one another. That all are cared for equally. All are joined together equally. there's not greater care for one person than another, or there shouldn't be. That we are to estimate each other and honor each other with the same value, because this is what God does. One of the things that we know about God is that He shows no partiality. And today, unfortunately, many people show partiality toward others and see some as more important than others. When you look at the parables in Luke, where Jesus talks about the things that are lost, He talks about the lost sheep, He talks about the lost coin, He talks about the lost son. And so what does the shepherd do when the one sheep is lost? He said, well, I've still got 99. I'm not worried. I've still got 99, so losing one out of 99 is pretty good odds, so I'm not going to get too upset about that. But that's not what happens. He goes and he looks for the one because he values the one just like he values the other 99. And the same thing with the coin. The coin that is lost, what does the woman do when she's lost the coin? Well, I've still got nine. You know, that's really not bad. I wouldn't be too upset about that. No, she goes and she looks and searches the house until she finds it. And of course, in the prodigal son, the father is anxiously looking for the son to come home and welcomes him with open arms and rejoices greatly that the one that is lost is found. And so it's an example here of God not showing partiality, that He cares about the one. He cares about the 99 too. He cares about the nine, but He also cares about the one that is lost. That is what He does. And so we must honor each other equally, because God is ascribing value to each one of those that some might just push aside and say, well, that's not a big deal. And you shouldn't have that kind of attitude toward what is lost. One other thing that we see in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, very interesting phrase, is to outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another in showing honor. And so, you know, the word here is very interesting. And some translations say to give preference or to show eagerness. And the Greek word here for outdo is to lead the way or to go on before. So you're going to take the first step. You're going to be the one that is going to move on this. And certainly the idea of outdoing one another in showing honor, it's not like we're in competition with each other, that, well, if you do something, I'm going to do something that's even better than that. But the idea that we're all doing what we can to show honor toward one another. What if everybody did that? What would be the result of that? And again, the idea is not to put yourself before others in regard to importance here, but the idea is that you're going to show honor for others, that you are going to lead the way. And if everybody had that attitude, I'm going to lead the way in showing honor toward one another. What a beautiful thing that would be. But sometimes it's not that way. And usually there's two or three or maybe more that are the leaders in showing honor and helping one another, and others are very thankful that those do that. But some are not really interested in being the one that's outdoing one another in showing honor. And so leading the way is the instruction that Paul gives the Roman brethren. Lead the way in showing respect and value for each other. So, you know, what would that look like in the church if everybody did that? It would be great. I'm going to honor you. And in the process, you know, everybody is doing that and showing respect and appreciation and showing that they value one another, and that they have care for one another, and that they want to work together as the body is to work together, without sitting back and saying, well, I wonder when somebody's going to honor me. No, that you're actively doing that. You're being proactive in that behavior, outdoing each other in bestowing honor on each other. And so go back to 1 Corinthians . Who are we to honor? First Verse 24 says, which our presentable parts do not require, but God has composed the body, given greater honor to the part that lacked it. It doesn't say you need to honor the people that you think are honorable, or that you need to honor those who you think are valuable. Paul says that you need to honor and value those that may seem to be lacking. And those that are lacking, those that are hurting, may need more encouragement. You need to give as much care as you would to anyone else. And so what keeps us from doing that? Well, the same thing that keeps us from doing a lot of things that we ought to do, and it's selfishness, or it's self-glorification. What was it that Jesus often criticized the Pharisees and condemned them for? You look at Matthew 23 and in Mark chapter 12, Luke chapter 20. In each one of those passages, he condemned them for loving the places of honor. Isn't that interesting? That instead of them having a reputation for honoring one another, you know, they were interested in receiving the honor themselves. And that was a big problem. And that was a major problem with the Pharisees, in that they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And that can be a big problem with us today. In fact, that's why some people choose to serve God. It's because they don't want to be criticized by their family, or they want to stay in a good relationship with their family, or they think that it makes them look good and look respectable, and they don't want to suffer the consequences on this earth of what would happen to them if they were unfaithful. So they do the things that they do, not because of their love for God or that they want to be honored by God, but they want to be honored and recognized by men. And that's not the way that it should be. That was the Pharisees' problem. Jesus told a parable in Luke chapter 14 about those that would seek to receive honor. Luke chapter 14, starting verse 7. Now he told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, when you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down at the place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say, give your place to this person, and then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. He also said to the man who had invited him, when you give a dinner or banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. You know, there's a real amount of meat here in this parable. How many times have we been in the situation where we might have chosen a place of honor or wanted to choose a place of honor, and then we're told to move? The first thing that Brendan does when I leave the room is he goes and sits in my recliner, and I have to go make him get out of the place of honor. And he never gives me a chance to honor him by saying, here, Brendan, sit in my place of honor, because he's already taken it. But, you know, when we... You know, I knew I've used this example before, but it's something that was embarrassing to me when it happened. When I started at EBSCO years and years ago, they had a sales meeting every Monday morning, and the room was set up in a square. There were tables on every side. So, you know, what's the head table there? You can't tell, because, you know, it's just like a circle. And so I go sit at the table that's either in the front or the back of the room. Who can tell? But, you know, I was told right away, you know, this is the table for the general manager and all of his yes people. And so I was not where I was supposed to sit. Well, I didn't have any idea. I had chosen I had automatically gone and chosen the place of honor. And that's not where I needed to be. And that was an accident. But let's say that I knew that that's where it was. Well, you know, they should respect me. You know, I'm the new person. They should honor me, so I'm going to go take that place. Well, that's exactly the attitude that Jesus says not to have. When you are invited, look, he says, at the people that come in, they go and they choose the chief seat. They go and they choose the best recliner. They go and choose the place of honor. You don't go sit down there. Go sit down in a lower place, and maybe they'll come to you and say, here, Randy, why don't you go and sit over here where you'll be more comfortable. And also, he instructs them that when you invite others to a dinner or banquet, don't invite famous people and rich people, because maybe in inviting them, they're going to do something nice for you. We hear this kind of thing so many times when it comes to different times of the year when people are giving gifts. And so what happens when somebody gives you something? Well, you have to figure out what they paid for it. You have to, because you need to go and you need to reciprocate and buy them something that is of the same value of what they gave you. And so this attitude that, well, I'm going to do this so they'll do something for me, is what Jesus says to stay away from. Basically, this whole parable is about not putting your place first. Not being selfish. Not seeking honor. Not seeking the attention. And there are many that did that. He says, don't do that. He says in verse 11, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. So this parable is not about, you know, social etiquette and that this is what we need to do to be socially acceptable. It's a parable about outdoing others and showing honor. You go sit in the low place, the place that lacks honor. You let yourself be last. And you give honor to others. And, you know, when I was growing up, my dad was a preacher. And what usually happened when we had a gospel meeting is that by default, the preacher's family was invited out to eat along with the guest preacher, which I really, really liked that tradition. And so anytime that we had a gospel meeting, it meant that I was going to get to go out to eat every night somewhere, probably. And what would happen is when you went out, there would be the wife or the woman who has been cooking the meal all day. And what usually happens, well, she's been laboring all day, and she's the last person to sit down. She's the last person to get a plate and feed herself. And you know that she's tired, but what she's doing is she's really taking the last place. She's being a servant. And you appreciate how you see that when that is done. It's humility. And it's the humble heart that Jesus says that he values. The person says, I'm not first. I'm not second. I'm last, and I don't need honor. And we need to teach each other by this principle. We need to teach our children by this principle. We need to learn that and show by example that we're not seeking the first place. And that's a hard lesson sometimes for children to learn, that they should not be seeking the first place. You know, let the older go through the door first. Hold the door open for someone. Let the older folks eat first. You know, sometimes when you get together, the kids don't like that, do they? We're going to let all the older people go first and then let the kids go. And sometimes we'll switch that around. But what we teach is that we need to teach each other that we're not always seeking to be the first. In Luke chapter 14, Luke chapter 14, Jesus points out that honor needs to be shown, and it needs to be shown to each other equally. Luke chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. He said to the men who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or banquet, do not invite your friends or brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." And that was probably the opposite of what people would want to do. You know, why would I invite the lowly people? What can they do for me? Well, it's not about what they can do for you. Honor them, honor each other, honor all people, regardless of what their position is. And back to Romans chapter 12, remember what Paul said, outdo each other in showing honor. And certainly if people would do what Jesus said here, honor those who are not able to do anything for you, they would be doing something that a lot of people wouldn't normally do. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, honor everyone and honor the king. Peter also said that we are to show honor to each other in marriage. Hebrews 13, the writer of Hebrews says, marriage is to be honored by all. And so, how do we do that? Well, you assign value to your marriage. Marriage should have value. Uphold it with respect. Honor your spouse. These are things that are important. And you think about, you know, how beautiful a marriage would be if a husband always acted on the assumption that he was going to honor his wife. He was going to put her first and put himself second. And the wife did the same thing. She didn't put herself first. She put her husband and kids first. And when everybody is trying to put each other first, things work out really well. And it works out really well with the church, too, when everybody is looking out for each other and trying to put each other first. And they're not looking out for their interest, but they're looking out for the interest of others. They are outdoing one another and showing honor. So it would be a beautiful marriage. It would be a beautiful relationship with the brethren when everybody is trying to outdo each other in showing honor. And you just think about how nice the world would be if everybody was outdoing one another in showing honor. It would cut down on divisions. It would cut down on fighting. It would cut down on many, many problems when we're trying to show honor toward one another. Now, this is God's picture for us. It's the picture of our family. It's the picture of our marriages. It's the picture of the church. And it's the picture of how He wants us to behave in the world. So we need to begin outdoing one another and showing value and honor toward one another. Again, it's this very simple concept, very simple lesson. But sometimes the simple principles are some of the hardest for us to apply, because we're so focused on ourselves and seeking honor, seeking attention, seeking others to value us, when we really should be turning that around and showing honor toward one another. Hope these lessons are helpful to you as we go through the Scriptures and look at these passages that tell us how it is that we ought to behave toward one another. If today you are desirous of becoming a Christian, or you have been putting off something that may be dividing you and from God, or dividing you from your brethren, there's no better time to make those things right than the present time, because we're not promised tomorrow. If we can help in any way, we'd invite you to come as we stand together and sing.